Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Bonjour.
Hello to everyone watching live on ampli.fi/guitar nerds, where every Tuesday night we're streaming these shenanigans live for an hour from 8:30 UK time. Talking about all the things you'd expect, all the fun guitar stuff. All the guitar news, some reviews, some personal stuff that we've been doing, questions from our Facebook group, but most importantly, or equally as importantly, questions from the Ampli.fi live chat. So if you listen to the podcast regularly and you've not joined us for one of the live sessions, go to Ampli.fi/guitar nerds. Make sure that you hit the follow button, I believe it is, and that will allow you to get notified when we go live. So we'll be doing this weekly Tuesday night thing, plus also I think we're going to do some more stuff during the week. How's it going, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Good, thanks.
Yeah. Joe Brandon, we can't quite hear you.
Yes.
There we go,
I'm good.
It's all
wonderful.
We're a
man down.
A disappointing threesome.
We are, in more ways than one. So Matt Knight tried to join us for this live stream, but unfortunately he's having some internet issues, so he will be joining
after
us.
Blaming me, I should...
Well, we did check your internet speed, and it was bad, and then it was good, so
yeah.
I think we've eliminated the problem, that it's Matt Knight is the problem,
yes.
As always.
Yeah.
So Matt's going to be joining us in the live chat on ampli.fi. If you want to head over there, you can chat with him live as the show goes on, and he'll be giving his usual kind of input, but through the medium of text, rather than the medium of his beard.
Which is,
mouth.
In fairness, like how we spend...
Is he on the same chat?
He's not yet, but we don't spend very much time in the same town as him anymore.
No.
So we spend a lot of time via the communicatorial world.
Is that a word?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Of text messaging.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, this is no sort of... This is just a day at the office for us, so to speak.
Hell yeah.
Indeed. But a day at the office where there's like beers and stuff.
What beers? Oh yeah, no, we're on camera, so
yeah,
can't hide
them
anymore, can we?
Yeah, awesome beers. Indeed. How's everyone doing? Jay Cross, how's your week?
It's been okay, thank you. I actually got a phone call this week to say that the guitar that I ordered ages ago has shown up. But I have been... This is rather embarrassing, and I do sort of feel like I'm losing some nerd points here. I have been so busy at work for the last couple of days. All I was able to do was be like, in a very polite work voice, yes, okay, thanks very much. It's really nice. Thanks for letting me know. I'm a little bit busy right now. Is it okay if I call you back? And I think the nice gentleman at the end of the phone was like expecting me to be like, oh my god, that's amazing, I've been waiting for 6 months for
this. Well, these have been ages.
Excited.
They're one of the biggest releases of this year.
I know. And I am really excited, but I was at work and I had to be like, oh yes, yep, thanks very much, yep, I understand. And I'm sure we've all maybe not.
No.
Like, no, you work, you
I
still
do
work
not
in
care.
An environment. No, no. But yeah, so that happened, and
You're not the only one to get one on the Facebook group.
No,
either.
So I should clarify. I ordered one of the Fender...
Yeah, we haven't actually said what guitar this is yet.
I ordered one of the Fender American Standard Offset Telecasters,
yeah.
Which Joe was talking a bit smack on.
Before we started recording the podcast.
Before we started.
Well, I've been, you know, very, very, very pro this guitar until coming face-to-face with one.
Yes, and I understand your... I understand why. So the spec of it is,
I've not said what it is.
No, okay. Yes, I have. Yeah, it's the Fender American Standard Offset Telecaster.
So that's
which is
that's
essentially
a Telecaster with a Jazzmaster body.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially a Telemaster, but for one reason or another, Fender weren't able to call it the Telemaster, so it's the Offset Telecaster.
So off the bat, how can you get that wrong? I mean, they're already a really loved custom shop.
So it what it does is it actually fills the gap between like three guitars that I've owned and have always felt like there was something missing from. So like I had a Jaguar, which I loved, and it was one of the Squire Vin Mod Jags. So like it cost me peanuts. And I put Mustang Bridge on it, stuck some 11s on it, gave it a good setup, and it was amazing. One of the best guitars I've ever played. Absolutely wonderful. But it was just missing just like a little bit, like a little bit of like a little bit of bite, like in comparison to my Telecaster, in comparison to my Les Paul, it was just like it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
So that ended up being moved on for something else. And I also have had an American Standard Telecaster, which I really liked. I really like those pickups. Those Fat 50s pickups are amazing. Like, they sound great, but I just don't get on with the bridge. I don't get on with the bridge whatsoever. I think if you're going to get a Telecaster, you need something with the three brass saddle style bridge. I just think you need that with a Telecaster, which is what my American Special, which is the guitar that I've got now, has got. But again, like, it doesn't have quite as much character to it as the American Standard did, but like it didn't play as good. So what's great about the offset is that you've got all three of those. You've got the body shape of the Jaguar, and like they just look so cool.
Yeah.
But then you've got the upgraded pickups of the American Standard. You've got the hardware of the American Standard, except for the bridge, which has got a vintage style three-way brass saddle bridge like the American Standard, like the American Special does.
I think someone at Fender is listening to this podcast and thought, you know who we can sell a guitar to? Jay
and then
Cross.
Who will talk about it to a load of unwitting listeners.
Yes.
It's funny that you think someone at Fender sort of thought about something when they were making it, because that's exactly what I think didn't happen at Fender.
Oh, I think it's a very cynical ploy to win back some...
But it's what a simple guitar to get right. What a completely loved guitar to get right. And
What are your gripes?
Okay, so it's a really vintage style guitar.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very vintage thing, having the Jazzmaster body with the Tele pickups. It just screams vintage. You can't make this modern. Like, by all means, shove a couple of humbuckers in it and it would be...
Yeah, of course.
You know, the Jim Root sort of... Yeah.
Modern player. They did the modern player with two P90s.
Yeah.
Which was... they called it a Jazzmaster, but it wasn't... No, they called it a...
Yeah, with black...
Oh, that had no...
Black P90s and gold anodized plate.
No, scratch plate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With, two Black Dove P90s and no plate. And they were in, like... Weren't they like a mahogany body as well?
That's right. Yeah.
I still thought those were cool, though.
They were cool. They were very cool.
Just really different. Cool. They weren't very like Tele. They weren't very like Jazzmaster
or
at all.
Jaguar,
sorry.
Really.
Or anything.
Yeah. It was just a bit of an odd thing.
But that, coming back to my gripe on it, it's that it should have been a vintage tint neck. Mm-hmm. It should have been vintage tuners with that bridge. Like, those are all real essentials.
I understand that. I do understand that. However, it is an American Standard, not a American vintage.
So why not an American Standard bridge? It looks like they've made a guitar from the odd bits and bobs they had laying around.
I think if they'd done an American Standard bridge, we'd be having this conversation. We'd be saying, well...
Oh, it's a vintage style guitar. Why has it got a modern bridge? That's what we would
say. Well, it's got modern tuners. That's why I'm having this conversation.
Well, you can change the tuners. Easier to change the tuners than it is to change the bridge.
You can't pull that. You can't say, oh, but you can change the tuners. Well, it's still that Fender are putting out an £1,100 guitar that has a vintage bridge and a modern set of tuners on it. It makes no sense. The neck is just so lacklustre, the sort of pale, anemic maple.
I prefer that. I really like that. I really like that. Like, the neck on my American Standard Tele that I had was great. It was great. It was really, really lovely. I just didn't get on with... obviously, I prefer if it was like a baseball bat.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm not going to get that without going down a custom shop route. And even then, you might not get a custom shop one. It might have to be master built.
Yeah, it's such a weird idea. Yeah. I agree with that. It's great that we've got something that's weird. I tell you what, I just didn't think it would... was an £1,100 one. I was like, when you're not going to put this...
What's
this,
a standard telly, though?
Well, I'm saying if you're not going to put the effort into theming it correctly, just make it
Mexican.
It's
not, but it's not an American vintage. It's...
So why the bridge?
Well, because it's like
because that's
new,
what people want.
It's no, a new guitar.
Like, the issue you've got here is Fender have made an adjustment that people want,
but and as all the tuners to, as well.
But I don't really.
And also, think about it. It's a new guitar. Fender have never made an offset Telecaster before, so it's not like there's a vintage spec to adhere to. They've just gone, okay, these are the things that we like from the American standard Tele. Plus, here's other things that people like, and people love this shape. Let's put it all together.
And what have you got?
Well, quite a banging looking guitar.
Yeah, it's great.
I think so.
And you've got the
Olympic white.
Is it definitely Olympic white and not vintage white? It looked like vintage white when I saw one up close.
I mean, I've
but you're gutted.
No, 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 not at all. Because I like vintage white as well. Like, in all honesty,
Vintage white.
Vintage white. I mean, my Tele and my P bass are in Olympic white.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
what if it's
not,
Arctic white?
Arctic white is not an American standard colour.
What was the pearl one? What was the...
Oh, Olympic pearl. Olympic it won't pearl. Be that because that's an American deluxe colour. So it's not going to be either of those. It will be vintage or Olympic. And I'm sure it'll be Olympic because that is the American standard white.
Yeah.
And someone else on the group got a Pelham blue.
No, Lake Placid. Lake Placid. Which, I tell you what...
Yeah, of course.
So I ordered this guitar pretty much blind because... I ordered it off of spec, which is something I've never done before. And to be fair, I've not played it yet, and I'm not gonna buy it until I've played it. And if I play it and I'm not into it, then I won't buy it. You know, I know that I can't
backing out now.
I know that I can't get the.
Are you able to do that?
I just won't get the deposit back.
Okay, fine.
You know,
Why don't you just buy it anyway? Keep it for a year and then flip it for when there aren't any left and people really want them.
But no, like you know, I'll try it and I. This is very new territory for me, going out and buying something that I've never played before. I've never done that. And so it is a bit of a gamble. But there was Fender leaked pretty much no information about them.
No.
And it was super hard to get a hold of.
They were part of this Magnificent Seven
Seven, that's right, yeah. Which I thought was one of the most exciting announcements that anybody from NAMM has made in a really long time.
Yeah.
You're right, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Just staring at your beer can very intensely.
It tastes really weird.
Okay, maybe it's off. So the plan is that you're going to pick that up, what, next week at some point?
Whenever I can get to whatever town Matt works in.
Okay, cool, cool.
We've just had a comment in the group from Matt Quine, long-time friend of the podcast, saying it is Olympic white. Matt, he put a picture of it in the group, which I didn't know. I haven't seen it. So.
Yeah, he put a picture of the box in the group.
Right,
so
okay.
Probably from the product code, you can deduce that it's
okay. Or
it's
Matt, has got,
white, so.
Matt has got scary X-ray computer vision.
He's looked right through the box, down the neck, and onto the body.
Whew. Jesus.
So that's exciting news. What else? Have you done anything this week, or have you just been eagerly anticipating the arrival?
I have just been eagerly anticipating the arrival of that. What else? Other than that, my cat's not been very well this week.
Boom.
So we went and picked her up today. She's been in the vet all weekend, which has been really sad. And I've been really worried about her, but she's fine.
As much as I dislike your cat, and I've mentioned many times on the podcast that it is just the worst cat ever, I was a bit upset for you when I heard that
She was really unwell. And just... If you're out there listening to this podcast with your pets, specifically your cats, just
get some pet insurance.
Definitely that.
Did you regret feeding Jay's cat Lego pieces?
That was the problem. Yeah,
yes.
It was that week when we came and did the podcast here without you here.
Right. Yeah.
That was it.
Joe feed her some sour Susie?
Is that beer that you're drinking?
Yeah, no, it's sort of a lemon.
It's a vice beer.
It's a vice beer, but a lemon vice beer.
That tastes totally dreadful.
The picture's a mermaid swearing at me.
Good, good.
Yeah.
So, apart from getting sworn out by Creatures of the Sea, Joe Branton, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
How many Ashdown amps did I have last time we spoke?
I think it was zero.
No, you did have it. You had the head and one cab, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's been an addition to this, has there?
Yeah.
I have seen a picture.
So I got a second single 15-inch classic cab. So now I have two 115s in 410 housings.
Oh, I forgot that you were doing that.
Yeah.
With an ABM 600 head. So it is actually massive.
Joe Branton's war against treble continues.
Yeah, yeah.
Two huge 1x15
115 cabs, yeah.
And one, yeah, Ashdown are never that good at producing like sparkly top end anyway. They're all about that kind of like low mid and yeah, bottom end. So have you tried it out yet? Have you gigged it?
I have not, no, not yet, not yet.
Have you turned it up in anger in your house?
I've turned it up a bit at my house, yeah, and okay, it sounds great. Right. It sounds great. But yeah, it's definitely overkill. Like definitely overkill. It's, I wanna put them side
sorry,
by side.
Sorry, let me just take you back there. What you're saying is this 300-watt head 600-watt head with two 1x15s stacked
cotton wool lined 115s
in 4x10 housing is overkill. That's what you said, yeah?
Well,
okay, I just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah. It's just a little bit large, so I wanted to have them side by side, but because they're in such large housings, I don't know what stages. I think I'm gonna have to reserve that for like festivals.
Why don't you do
like
one that on either side of the stage with a long speaker lead?
Well, I don't like stereo. That's not cool.
Well, it wouldn't be stereo.
Well, you know, that's sort of stereo.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to stack them.
Why don't you get someone to put one on the stage, and then with a really long speaker lead, get someone to drive around the.
That's a great idea.
Or put one in the back of the room,
Leslie.
Yeah. Or just put
someone
one.
Someone called
can
Leslie.
You put one at the back of the room?
Yeah, oh, that'd be cool. Quite a nice idea. Yeah, like Sun do that.
Yeah, Sun play. Mm-hmm. I missed the show, but they played. They toured about 5 or 6 years ago. They played a show in a really weird venue in Brighton.
They played the Concord too.
It was Coalition.
No way. No
Coalition.
Way did they fit into Coalition.
It was Coalition they played. I think it was Coalition, which is 700 capacity, I think, something like that. Hmm. And they played a show with in quadraphonic sound.
Yes, mate.
So they had a full PA in all four corners of what I assume could only be described as the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's like...
The four corners of the apocalypse.
Yeah. So. Apparently, people were like walking out just like, I have no idea what happened. Like, it's such a great story. Like, their rider...
Oh, it's amazing.
Not rider, their tech spec leaked in
there's
the run-up to that tour.
A few of those, yeah.
And, like, so Sun are a... they're a three-piece. There's two guitar players. Or is it a guitar and a bass? I think it's two guitar players and a synth player.
And, who does all the bass stuff.
Yeah, well, except for the fact... Oh, I'll have to find that tech spec. Except for the fact that one of the people standing... I can't remember if it's guitar. I think it's two guitars. One of them played through... I'm sure it was six 8x10s.
Yeah.
And six right. Ampeg SVTs.
SVTs, yeah. Bonkers. SVT 300s. So that tech spec is out and about on the internet as well. If you haven't checked it out, Sun are SUNN. So listeners and viewers...
close brackets. They took their name from the amp brand.
Sun amps.
Yeah. Sun.
Yeah.
And then added the O as like
they
a
are very, very loud indeed.
Great band. I can't believe I missed that show. I was gutted.
Yeah. So you bought a ridiculous amp. Mm. So that's what all your cash gone, right? For buying new stuff and things like that, right?
Almost.
You're probably not going to want to buy anything for what, maybe 6 to 12 months, something like that.
Well, hold on.
Wait, are you going? Do you want me to get it?
Don't, because this is bad for
no,
audio.
No, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Describe
okay.
it. It okay. is in the room, unfortunately.
Okay.
What have you bought?
I have bought a. I've bought a Fender FSR Flea Signature.
Okay. No wait. The first two bits sounded brilliant. Fender, good. FSR, brilliant.
Okay,
always
fine,
good guitars.
Fine. Okay, let me swap
yeah, but
that
what
bit
shape
out for.
Is it?
Faded shell pink.
Yeah, I mean,
great.
61 concentric stack.
No, bad. You've ruined it again.
Jazz bass. No, what are you talking
concentric
about? Concentric
pots
controls are the best.
Why do you think they didn't last more than like a year?
Because people are stupid.
No, because they do not work.
No, they do. Because you roll off all the tone on the bridge pickup and
why would you
want
to do that?
Pickup on full so that you get like a proper sort of woolly sound but with a little bit of treble
why
response.
Why would you want that?
Sounds great.
You do, can you turn off the neck pickup and just use the bass pick?
Well,
just use the bridge pickup.
Sorry. No, you don't
what you
want to
do?
Why
right?
not?
You want to do it the other way.
What?
Turn off the bridge pickup and just
why on earth would you do that? Then you wouldn't be able to hear yourself.
I've got an idea for a video for the YouTube channel. Top five mods for a Fender jazz bass. Number one,
Danny Mills.
Change the neck to a P-bass neck, obviously, better.
Yeah, I'd probably do that, yeah.
Change the pickups to a P-bass pickup.
Oh, no, no, I wouldn't do that. I prefer jazz bass pickups.
Tip number three, change the body to a P-bass body.
An offset body is better. What are you talking about? They look so much better.
No, they don't.
They look a million times better.
They are useless. It's... There it is.
We were getting some grief in the room. Right. Everybody wanted to
see it. Well, there it is. It exists. So for people just listening to the audio, Jay is showing off this. It is a good looking bass.
It's a great looking bass.
The concentric pots and stuff, awful. But the worst bit is flip it over, and that neck plate is horrendous.
So the neck plate says flee. And then
that
has a little smiley
focused
face.
Okay, move it out. Let's see if it focuses back on us. There we go. Fine. So, yeah, the neck plate says flea, and Jay is slapping it in the background. It all looks good, I've got to admit. Yeah. And, you know, it's...
825 quid.
It's in the similar kind of build quality, I guess, to the road-worn stuff and the Nate Mendel P-Bass, which I think was one of the best sub-1,000-pound P-Basses ever.
Excluding the colour... Yep. Which I didn't really like on the Nate Mendel. I thought that was the best, and I do think better than Flea's one, the best Relicking out of Mexico I've ever seen.
100%.
And actually, I mean, excluding the colour, if you want a P bass, because the Matt Freeman is now discontinued.
What?
You know, I mentioned last year that they were discontinuing loads of great stuff, so you needed to get things now. Because Matt Freeman's gone, the Nate Mendel is now the best Fender P-Bass you can go. But don't worry, the Matt Freeman isn't completely gone. They've discontinued the only good Matt Freeman. The white one.
So you can get the black one still.
Which just means that they had leftover stock of the black one.
Yeah. And so that will be on its way out.
Yeah, not making it. And I've missed my opportunity, because always like, white Matt Freeman is the best thing
you
Fender
can buy
Squire
for...
have ever made. Like, yeah. ever.
No, I'm
ever
with you,
of all time, best bass, and it's a £380, £45 now. I think it's gone up so much since they made it, because they realised it was so good.
Yes.
But gone now. I mean, I could have actually bought that cheap because I work for a guitar shop, and I'm now going to have to scour eBay.
But I mean, you've got plenty of P basses, and
no,
you've
I've
just
only
got
one
another
P-bass.
Jazz bass.
I have four jazz basses and one P bass.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I don't know how you afford
different
it.
Different tunings.
Unbelievable. You're getting paid too much. Anyway, so are you going to keep that in standard tuning, or are you going to drop it? Are you going to use it live? Is it a polymath bass, or is it something to just have?
Polymath's in drop C, so I couldn't do that with that bridge.
Okay.
I mean, I actually do have the same bridge on my 57 reissue P bass.
Yes.
50s reissue P bass. But it really struggles in C.
I bet.
So I've just bought a badass bridge, which I was going to retrofit. But then I also bought another jazz bass as well as that one, which has a better bridge.
Yeah.
So I was just going to drop C that. So I also got another jazz bass.
Oh, what? Wait, what?
One. Yeah, I bought another jazz bass.
What's the other one?
I got a second-hand Classic Vibe, the Inca Silver.
Oh, God.
What? What?
£200. 60, £200 on eBay.
It's a 60s neck, yeah?
Sorry?
It's the 60s jazz, yeah.
Yeah.
I literally don't understand. I've got my eye on a second-hand Classic Vibe that is £220. Classic Vibe Telly that I want to buy.
Right.
And I'm an aura about that. Like, it's £200. I don't get it.
What?
Money bags over here. Spare a penny for us when you got time.
No.
Think about the little people.
I do. I don't buy that much stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're crazy. Should we move on to some news?
Nude.
I like the confusion there about who was going to do the news jingle.
I thought Jay was going to say something.
Why was that? No. That's your thingy.
Why don't we have a news off? Who can do the best one? Jay?
No, I'm all right.
Okay, fine, good. I thought that's what you'd say. So first up, Orange were... We talked about it last week. Joe Brandon, you had some insider information on this, and Orange were doing a big countdown to their new product launch.
Yes.
Everyone's super excited.
Yes.
And for me, a little underwhelming.
I did the bass demo for it and everything.
That's why it was underwhelming. I should have watched a different demo. That's
go on to YouTube and check me out.
Problem.
Check me out.
So
my playing's all right. It's not great.
Okay.
It never is.
So new Orange Crush bass series. They've done the Crush series for a while, probably for the last 10 years.
Yes.
Something like that.
Is the Crush bass series, which they've never done.
Yeah, they have.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were Crush series things for bass, but they were called Crush Picks.
Before that there was okay, fine, go on. I see you're the king of semantics.
Yeah, whatever.
You've obviously had the spiel.
James has been
in your ear.
It's quite disconcerting when James from Orange is literally standing in the room with you whilst you're trying to sort of do the demo playing.
Oh, I like
it. And he stands there the whole time.
Because the thing is James is on the Guitar Nerds forum.
He may even be listening. Hello, James.
Hello, James. So he won't mind us talking about him. James is a wonderful human being. Mm. Absolutely wonderful human being. And he just comes down to Brighton because he loves hanging out with us a lot, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah, he's wicked. He's brilliant.
He's great.
I mean,
now
that you and I aren't there, it's probably a bit more of a chore.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he just...
He comes down and sees me.
Oh, does he? Oh, yeah. Okay, brilliant.
But no, James used to come down a lot. Weird that he's coming down less
now. He doesn't come down very much.
I really do try and not let my my personal judgments get in the way of how I feel about companies, but like when you've got someone really cool as like the brand ambassador, just does make life easy.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
So,
so tell us about the new Orange Crush Bass series.
Yeah, so three models. They're doing a 25, a 50,
just like us.
And
three models.
You better believe it.
Indeed,
a 25, a 50, and a 100-watt version. So these are the Crush series by Orange is notoriously their practice amp range. But Orange, like, I know what you're saying about it being underwhelming, and it's underwhelming because it's a practice amp.
Indeed.
Series. But they've done exactly what they did with the Crush Pro series recently, which was they looked at what that area of the marketplace wanted and needed, and they just made it at the right price point without any messing around. They just seem to be very good at looking at what an area of the market needs and just making that product, exactly like what they did when they made the first Tiny Terrors. That was perfect for the market at the time, and that's exactly what these Crush Bass series are on a smaller scale. Obviously it's practice amps, but take the 25, we'll take all of them, they're all ported, so even the 25 is a really deep cab and ported, so it actually sounds like a bass, I think is a
25 watts, I always think, for a bass amp is a strange output because it's too loud generally for home and not loud enough for practice or gigging. So my question would be, what does it sound like low volume?
It sounded great to me, sort of thing. Sounded fine. I thought it was brilliant. They've added a couple more features that help. So things like a tuner on all of them.
Okay.
And here's the thing. This is what makes them really cool. They've introduced the active EQ that you get on the 4-stroke.
Okay.
Right. So
4-band EQ.
So yeah, exactly. So all of a sudden, that's a ton better. Right. Yeah, that's certainly at a practice amp.
Yeah, you wouldn't normally see that on a practice amp.
And then just because it's a bit of a load of things from the Orange Amp series, on the 50 and the 100, they've added the blend and drive feature. Or it might just be the 100. I'll have to check that.
Okay.
The blend and drive feature from the OB1.
I did watch your video, and I think it is the 50 and the 100.
Yeah, I think so.
I wasn't paying. I was just sort of looking at your face.
I didn't watch your video.
So I think I wore this T-shirt in the
video.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
Not this actual T-shirt, but
we share shirts.
Indeed.
But the
all ported.
Yeah. So
tuner on board.
Yeah. But you can foot switch and drive on
that's
the 50
cool.
and 100.
That's super cool.
That's amazing. Active EQ.
Is the 100 watt loud enough to gig with?
I think so. It's pretty loud.
Okay.
Orange are notoriously pretty loud. So small gigs?
Yeah, if someone was doing, let's say, like small pub gigs, they've got line out, presumably. Yeah.
No, not just that. Yes, they do.
Okay.
DI out on the 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, they have a cab sim on the headphones out.
Oh, that's cool.
Is that new for bass? I think that's new for bass, isn't it? Because
yeah, I don't think it had it on the original, on the Crush Picks, but it's got it on the guitar stuff.
They've been doing
it
on all the guitar stuff, which is
relatively unusual for bass at all.
Yes, of course, yeah. Is some of the TC Electronic stuff has got a headphone out?
But I'm doubtful that it's got cab sim on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's emulated.
Maybe not. No.
That's why everyone buys the Sans amps.
Yeah,
so
of
the
course.
Cab sim.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So sort of everything it's got on there, I think, is a real step in the right direction, and like nailing that area of the market. And they're not ridiculous money. They're the right price as well, which...
I always think it is a bit of a difficult kind of no man's land, really, in the bass world. You know, going from, let's say, a 15-watt practice amp up to a 200-watt head with cabs, because to gig with bass, you need a bit of volume. So it's good to hear that Orange are kind of doing it right. It's always, I think, been very difficult. PV always had quite a good go at it. Do you remember the TNTs and the TKOs were a good go-to for a long time? But I think I'd much prefer to play an Orange. That'd be great.
Orange have the benefit of certainly, you know, the people buying practice amps are beginners.
Yeah.
And, you know, for exactly the same reason that when I walked into a guitar shop to buy my first Affinity P-Bass and they asked me what colour, I asked them if they did glitter pink or yellow.
Okay.
You know, it says
a lot about you, I think. Yeah, well, it says a lot about all of us because we'd probably ask for those same finishes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's kind of the point, I think, that Orange look great. They look interesting and brilliant, and there's no reason that a young player wouldn't go for them just because of how they look, but they're actually getting probably the best entry-level product on the market at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a great segue, Glitter Pink.
Oh, yeah. Well, that isn't actually on the news, but...
But it is news.
Are they available everywhere is my only question.
No. The first I heard about them was a mail shot I got from another company today.
Are you getting them?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, fine. I think let's not talk about them. We put some stuff in the Facebook group about
it. Really? We're going to miss out on the coolest products.
I might be buying a pink glitter.
Mark doesn't want to be left in a situation where...
Oh, is that what you're doing? Because you know how limited stock they are.
Exactly. Okay. So I might be buying something. I might put some pictures up for next
week. I can't believe you're
going
to do this to our listeners and viewers.
If you're in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, you'll be able to see the guitar that we're all getting excited about.
Three of the coolest colours and most affordable guitars ever have
But don't buy them because I want to buy one and it looks like they're very limited. So yes, do not buy one. Jay Cross, do you want to tell us about the Fuzz Rocious Greyfly?
Yeah, so I should prefix this by saying Matty was going to talk about this.
He was. He's the perfect person to do that.
He absolutely is. So I've just been doing a little bit of reading about it before we all sort of kick off here. And I tell you what, this looks absolutely incredible.
So it's a collaboration between two companies.
Between two companies, yeah. It's Fuzz Rocious and Electro Faustus.
Indeed.
Oh, I love Electro.
I don't know anything about Electro
Faustus. Yeah, I just bought an Electro Faustus. I bought the guitar
Dammerung
Destroyer. No, oh.
Guitar Dammerung, isn't that?
No, Defiler.
Okay.
Deranger. Something like that. So if anyone knows, tell me what
I'm
it is.
I'm glad that you know what you've bought.
It's a fuzz that also is a bit crusher, which also randomly oscillates and octaves whatever note you play.
Okay.
So no matter what note you play, it could be any note.
They've kind of gone beneath or above our radar, haven't they? But I do hear I hear a lot about Electro Faustus. The guys on 60 Cycle Hum talk about it a lot.
Right.
And they,
great podcasts.
Indeed. They pop up on a few other guitar podcasts as well. So we should probably get in touch and see if we can get some to
try
them
out.
Well, I've got one.
Well, yeah, we can do that one, but we can do other stuff too.
The Greyfly looks absolutely brilliant.
So it's, tell us about it.
So it's a mixture between a fuzz pedal and kind of like a weird noise generator. So the one of the Electro Faustus pedals, which is the Blackfly, uses springs to sort of create that weird, like, metallic sound that you can't really get from a chip, I guess, or, you know, even from like a dodgy circuit. You can't really get that, and those springs just add like a real, I don't know, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm reading about it now. This looks great. And yeah, it's just a really weird, it's a cool different style of fuzz pedal, rather than just, oh well, we'll just change the capacitor in this part
so,
of it, blah blah blah.
As far as I'm aware, you don't plug a guitar in.
Oh, that, really?
Indeed.
I'll admit, I haven't got...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Not that far.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, that's certainly the case with the Black Fly, because I've seen some demos of that, and it's basically, it is a noise generator in that you hit the springs and that creates the tones.
Right.
So it looks like they've hooked up with Fuzz Rocious, who are providing the fuzz side of this, to then feed that into the feed the springs into the fuzz, and it is actually a noise generator, unless there's some function on this where you can plug an external source in. I don't know.
I'd have to watch the video, and I didn't have enough time to do that because Matt's internet dropped out.
Indeed. So I think we need to get our hands on one
we
of these to give it a try. I'm very curious about Electrofaustus, and very curious about Fuzz Rocious. Matt, I assume, knows a lot more about this than we do. But
he said he was going to be in the chat.
Well, yeah, he needs to.
If he's not watching Game of Thrones,
he's not watching Game of Thrones.
There's literally no other excuse.
He's not. He's okay. Well. I think he's not allowed to now.
Oh
yeah. Anyway, Joe Branton.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us about the Frederick Effects Utility Percolator Mark II?
Sure thing.
So. Percolator sounds good.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah.
We've got one.
We have. There is a proper one up there. The utility percolator doesn't look like a regular harmonic percolator. It looks like a compact pedal.
Well, it is. So the... But there have been lots of harmonic percolators, clones, through the years that have done away with the more inaccessible elements of the original harmonic percolator. Yeah. Like the ridiculous size of it, and also its connection's pretty dodge as well. The way you wire it up, it's really designed to just run on battery. So so there have been lots of changes from loads of companies to put this thing into a compact pedal and do away with the faders, make it more rotary controlled. So this is cool. The this is just sort of the next version of this, but it is a Mark II, so it's an adjustment. They've added a couple of cool features. They have sort of kept to the colour scheme of the original.
I like
harmonic
it. It's
percolator.
A kind of 70s beige with a picture of the Berlin, whatever that tower is, the TV tower.
Yeah.
Is it the big tower in Berlin?
Yeah, that one.
Indeed. And
in Alexanderplatz.
Indeed. So control-wise on there, we've got harmonics and balance, which I assume is a
harmonics,
kind of...
Harmonics and balance are the same as what you would get on a percolator. So the controls are exactly the same there. But you've also got a little toggle switch on there as well, which I can't find out what it does. I don't know if you know.
I believe it's two different sounds.
I wondered if it was like a low-pass clip or something like that, but it doesn't. It's not actually... labeled on the pedal itself.
Yeah, they it's a low pass filter.
Right.
Yeah, indeed.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense to have that sort of thing on a harmonic percolator, because it's very much the sort of thing that is going to work really well on really sort of super high-endy guitars. But also it's a great pedal for bass as well.
Yeah.
It's a great enhancer. It's the sort of pedal that you should just have on all the time.
Yeah, it's just a cool preamp, isn't it?
I always think of it as essentially a giant presence control.
Yeah.
And it's just like maxing out presence, but in a really good functional way. The best thing about this is, Jay Cross, how much is your harmonic percolator cost?
Oh, I mean, I couldn't possibly tell you. I don't know how much that's worth. I got quite a good deal on it. Right. I don't know.
Well, I would say your one's probably...
There are a couple hundred quid.
I'd say it would go up to about 300 quid.
Yeah, probably something like that.
By now. These are £95 from Frederick Effects.
Made in the UK, I believe.
Yeah.
And they look super cool. I prefer the look of that to a regular harmonic percolator.
Yeah, I mean,
well, it's going to fit on your board properly.
And it's also rotary controls rather than the sliders.
You can power it effectively. Yep. It's great. And for £95, like £95, that's less than most Boss pedals. There is no reason for all of you guitar nerds not to get one of these. If you have not tried a harmonic percolator, and they are quite rare, so a lot of people haven't, and it always seems strange to me that, I know it's different from a Clonsentar, but everyone knows about a Clonsentar.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone go on about the harmonic percolator? Yeah. It's genuinely one of the best sounding pedals ever created.
So yeah. when I got mine,
one for 95 quid now.
When I got mine, I also had...
Why did... Can I just ask, because yeah. like until you got one, I hadn't really heard much about a harmonic percolator. Like, yeah. how did you know about it?
Who do you think?
Dan Grace.
No.
Okay. Try again.
Matt Bellamy.
Matt. I was in the shop that I used to work in, and Matty was like, Jay, I think you should try this. And one of... I tried this pedal, which one of his mates was selling, and I was just like, this is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. I went and plugged it in. Initially, I just plugged it into something small, like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. And it was so good. I went straight down the road, got some money out, gave it to the person who I needed to give the money to, and then went into, like, shunned all my responsibilities for the rest of the afternoon. It was near the end of the day.
But yeah,
I
right.
just went... Yeah, maybe
we believe
not.
You.
I went and got a P-Bass and plugged it in to a 300-watt Super Bassman and a A-10 and plugged it into that and just didn't do any work for the rest of the day.
Nice.
Just the most incredible sounding pedal.
I remember the first time I ever heard one was you playing one in the bass.
It's probably it wasn't that
I
day.
Don't think it was that one
no.
because you'd also because it was it's etched in my brain as one of the best
sounding yeah.
bass things I've ever heard, and it was you playing
yeah
it,
I know.
Was, but it was your Fender Bassman you
which
had
I've
one,
had to sell recently.
A 135 which
did,
is
yeah,
which
yeah.
is my absolute favourite bass amp
you bought one
ever
recently.
Created
did you buy one?
I didn't buy one, but I always record on one
yeah.
I always rent one out from
yeah.
Brighton Electric.
I think I'll buy another one of those. It was one of those things I needed the money for one reason or another, and I wasn't using it.
No.
And I sold it for as much as I sold it for to a friend, but for like the market value, so I'll be able to buy another one for the same amount of
yeah,
money
yeah.
if I need to, which is fine.
Yeah.
I would never buy one because because the tubes are upside down
yeah,
in there,
yeah,
and they just
you can't
you won't get free gigs.
One.
You won't
no.
get free gigs
no.
out of them.
No.
And I actually know a fella who works at Brand Electric who loves it as much as I do, and he took it on tour and yeah, got two shows out of it.
Yeah.
And then you know had to do the rest of the
classic
thing.
I mean,
70s valve amp.
That
problem.
Said, the you know the my mate who I sold it to. Plays in this band Tool Ships,
uh-huh.
and they play a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And he uses it. That he actually the when
so
I was,
you use it for bass or guitar.
He uses it for bass.
Oh really?
And how did the conversation come up? He recorded with one, and we were just hanging out at one point, and it came up that I had one. He was like, oh yeah, and then maybe like a month later, he was like, you know your bassman, can I borrow it for a couple shows? And like 6 months later, I hadn't had it back.
Right.
But I'd just seen they'd done a live video where he was using it. So I was like, oh, Matt, yeah, I'm thinking about selling this. Can I have it back? And he went, how much do you... And he just brought the money around the next
nice.
Day.
Yeah.
So
nice.
It was, you know, it was fine. But like they play
the
a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And they use it. I think if you like... really look after it, but
yeah.
you've got to be so careful
you have
with it because,
to be careful, yeah.
because it is it's a you know a 40-year-old amp
yeah
and you know they just it doesn't matter how well built they are you can't
no.
you've got to be so careful with anything like that and yeah you know it does sound amazing but
the one the one I hire also comes with the matching 215 cab
oh,
that Fender
beautiful.
Made for it which
beautiful. Yeah
which is,
silver face
yeah yeah
Fender cabs
which
always
is incredible but that when I think you were playing that Fender Bassman 135 with a harmonic percolator in
yeah,
front
yeah.
of it,
it sounded incredible
and a P bass
that's
and,
where
yeah.
that's where this conversation came
yes,
from
yeah that's
yeah.
right
harmonic
percolator.
The
harmonic percolator
but those three things a P bass a harmonic percolator and a Bassman 135 is
yeah.
probably the coolest bass sound I think you can create.
I think the harmonic percolator is going to be... I think it's going to like really make a real resurgence. Like how the last couple of years have all been about like clones And this year, to a certain degree, has been a little... not, it hasn't caught in the same way as the Clon did, obviously. But, like, you know how Matty said that this was going to be like the year of the Dumble.
Yeah.
I reckon that we're going to see a real resurgence of harmonic percolators. There's that
you'll be sitting on a pile of
on
cash
an absolute gold mine
when that
yeah,
starts
yeah.
going for £2,000.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's that. There's another company, another British company, Dubrec Audio.
Yep.
You know them? They make a they make the harmonic.
Yeah.
Which is just another harmonic percolator.
Do you know what?
Which is really cool. What are you doing?
You're just going to buy one right now?
It's too good. It's too good not to.
Are you actually buying it?
You're buying
live
one
on
live on the podcast.
It's such a good pick.
Joe Crazy Branton. Well, Joe, let's talk about our last bit of news. As you're the clearly the only one of us that hasn't grown up and still plays in dark and dingy venues every now and then, do you occasionally have problems seeing your pedal board and like which pedal to tread on? Are you laughing at this segue or just...
It's a good segue.
I'm working on it.
Into a product for
that is excellent.
Old bluesy
that
guys
is excellent
playing so, in crap pubs.
So
and no, this is a bad product. But whatever. Yeah, yeah. Go on. Tell me about this pointless product. Tell me about this money making scheme.
You're playing in the upstairs room of a pub in Scunthorpe. There's no on stage lighting. Polymath about to hit the stage, and you realise, wait, I can't see my pedals. What would you need to help you out in that situation?
I would need some form of light specifically designed to clip onto a pedal board.
Good news.
Congratulations.
Because the Rockstock Pedals Bright Switch USB pedal board light is exactly the thing that you need. So this has just come out. Basically what it is a 9-volt powered pedal, essentially. It's in like the same box as a Moor that has two USB outs on it, so you can use it for one of two things. You can use it in the way that it's kind of intended out of the box, which is plug in the it's got those like gooseneck mini lights on it,
right.
So you can have that overhanging. But what it'll also do is power things via USB. So let's say that you were plugging in an iPad, or like if you were running, you know, samples or something off an iPad, you could plug in, power your iPad straight from your pedal board.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, again, you'll say it's an old man blues thing to do, but let's say you had like a lyric sheet up, but you know, you're in a covers band and you're playing guitar and you want your lyrics in front of you, power the iPad with that. I think this is super cool. A real neat addition.
Can you change the colours of the lights?
So the way it works is that they come on an arm that is like a USB light, basically.
Yeah.
And I've only seen it with white light.
See, that is good. That's good because, do you remember when we were working in the shop, there was a pedal that came out called the Mighty Bright Pedal Board Light. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but it wasn't very good.
Well, see, the reason that it wasn't very good was it had two arms that came out.
Yeah.
And one was a white light and one was a red light.
Oh, yeah.
Now, who in that...
That was
like,
weird.
What sort of mug came up with... You know what people need to power... So that they can see whether their pedals that have red lights are on or not. Let's give them a red light. Like, you couldn't see enough. You couldn't see anything.
And they were attached as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, the good thing about this is that if you don't want the lights and you've got two USB devices to power... you can just plug two USBs in, you just take the lights out.
Great.
I think this is cool. I think it's a really
neat thing. It's, and as much as Joe Coolboy Branton over there likes to pretend that he's got his finger on the pulse, this will be really popular. This will
be really
popular because those Mighty Brights were super popular, but people only ever used the white light.
And they didn't really look like a pedal either. This is literally in a Moor housing. And you could, Velcro out and put it on a pedal board.
Great. So it's even, like, that. I think that's very, very cool. Very, very cool.
What's the vibe in the chat? Would people want a pedal board light?
Well, the chat is maybe 30 seconds behind us.
Okay,
so,
fine.
Well, the whole stream is a little bit behind. So we'll find out.
Okay, so let us know your opinions on that as we delve into questions.
Questionable motives.
Good. Have we got any questions from the Amplify chat, Jay?
We do, actually. We got a question from Matt Rigby.
Okay.
Mike Rigby. I did it again. I think I said Matt last time because Matt is not here. I'm feeling all emotional because Matt is not here. Mike Rigby, who said, and everybody's already LOL'd themselves through on this conversation because Mike wants to know, I've got a Marshall 1974X, a Marshall 1974X clone. After doing stereo setup, what would be a good partner for it? Budget of around £400.
Okay, brilliant. So long-time listeners of the podcast can probably work out what we're going to say. £400 for a small valve amp to...
Something to complement a Marshall. Something to complement that sort of
mid-range heavy.
Grunt. You want something... You're going to want something with a bit of sparkle.
I was thinking Engel Powerball 15.
Boom. There we go.
Laney Cub 12.
Yeah, brilliant. J-Cross, go on. It's your domain. You need to say it.
You need to go out and you need to buy yourself a Fender Blues Junior. Take a drink.
Are they under £400?
Not at all, but it's worth the extra money.
How much are they?
£470. They're less than £500.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's worth every single penny because they are bloody great amps.
I think it comes down to what do you want to do with your stereo setup. If you want to be running stereo all the time and you want an even balance between the amps, you probably want to get another Marshall. Let's say you're running like stereo delays.
Well, it does say that it's a Marshall 1974X clone.
Okay,
I don't know what it is. But you want to find out, Mike, if you could hit us up with what you actually got there.
I think if you are running like stereo delays and reverbs and stuff, I don't think you want an imbalance really. But if you're looking to switch between two amps and you want some different sounds,
yeah. I mean, or.
Do you want that? I mean, I guess in one way it fills out the sound because you got that sparkly top end.
Yeah.
Nice, you know, bottom end with the Marshall sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
But if you got, you know, wide stereo amps, let's say you're putting one on either side of the stage.
But you don't have to do that.
No, you could put them together. That would certainly work. But then do you need to go stereo at that point?
It sounds better though, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, better. More amps obviously sounds better. Well, in that case, just get an Acho Headrush and put 5 amps on the stage. But I would say it depends on your motives, really. If you just want,
of course,
a wide stereo rig that sounds even across both sides, then go for a similar amp at a similar price.
And AC30.
I mean, is there
AC15.
If you're looking at Marshall, is there a Class 5 at the moment? Didn't it come back? There's a I'm sure there's.
Is it going to be loud enough?
Yeah, it's a Roulette Class 5, but I don't think they're loud enough. No,
I don't think they're loud enough to go alongside an 18 watt 1974X.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's just another 1974X.
Well, I mean, they're such
Vox,
phenomenal.
You could
amps.
Go. Oh no, probably.
Well, I mean,
too
you
much
could
money.
Go for AC.
AC10.
How much is AC10? That's about that money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit less, a bit under £400, but I don't know. It's only just loud enough to compete.
I guess it kind of depends on whether you're going to be... if you're going to be using a... how clean it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you're using... but if you've got a Marshall 1974X, probably isn't going to... You know, do you buy that amp for the clean sound?
No, but that's why I'm wondering, like, do you go for a similar thing? Because let's say that you... Because the drives on the Blues Junior are not fantastic, are they? So if you're...
No, not at all, but, you know...
It depends if you're using it to fill out the sound or do you want to widen the sound.
Yeah.
That would be my thoughts. If it's to widen it, go for something Marshall-y, something that matches and gives you a kind of truer stereo image.
Yeah.
If not, then go for... Defender and just have yourself a brilliant guitar sound.
Yeah.
And maybe get an ABY box and, you know, for certain bits, you can turn one of them off.
Who are you?
Well, I'm just saying.
Are you?
I'm saying.
Who even are you?
All I'm saying is, let's say you've got a nice, clean, sparkly breakdown bit, you might not necessarily want the Marshall on, and you can turn that off and, put in the ABY box.
I thought we were mates.
Unbelievable.
One follow up question from the Rockstack?
Yes. Rockstock.
Do we and Two Smoking Barrels. We have a price?
Oh, they're not very much money.
They're
not a huge amount of money. Peckham. Can you have a look? It's up on the Guitar Nerd site, actually, I believe. Okay. I think they're £65, something like that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, maybe they're not. No, maybe they're not that much.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Bit of feedback here. Matt in the group is saying two amps on top of each other is better than one amp on its own. So even if you're not going for the stereo rig, you know, it is going to sound better. We've also got some comments on the Rockstack. Check Chap is saying charge your phone while you're playing because there's never any power sock because it's in the club.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was thinking.
Quality.
I mean, it's the J-Cross signature pedal, basically. The man who always needs his phone to be charged.
Absolutely. And Lardy is saying, I mean, just save that extra $50 and just eat some more carrots.
Well, I mean, that is another one. That is something else you could do.
Yeah,
prices at the bottom, I think, somewhere. $49.
$49.
So at the moment, that's like 49 quid, point, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it
so
really is.
It's about £49, roughly. But yeah, I think it's cool.
You're listening to us on the day that the pound has hit the lowest price
in 31
years. 31 years. Indeed. So, there
so, we go. So if you're listening from abroad, not of the Great British Isles, buy British pedals.
Like, yeah, that, so cheap.
That Frederick Effects pedal will cost you nothing.
Absolutely ridiculous. Sub $100.
Yeah, because yeah. 95, yeah, unbelievable. Now's the time to buy British. Buy
now
British
is
stuff.
The time.
Indeed. Have we got any more questions from the chat?
Nothing from the chat just yet. Let's what take, have we got, what the, we got from the emails?
Let's take one. This is from the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar. It's forum. Christopher says,
As a delay novice, what are the benefits of digital delays and vintage delays, respectively? Can anyone recommend the best settings? Also, I cannot seem to get a nice balance with overdrives.
Good. I like the last bit was just like, oh, by the way. So
that's two questions for the price of one. I'm not sure we allow that.
I know. Difference between...
Did he pay?
He did. Yeah, he did. He paid for two.
Okay,
it's,
cool.
But he paid in dollars. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's
okay.
Good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
he paid
great.
In dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all yeah. It's all good.
If you need the breakdown for payment for questions, just email Joe, Joseph_900. Just direct message him on Twitter.
You yeah. Better believe it.
He'll give you the right card for
in a
questions.
Funny voice.
Yeah, he will. So vintage versus digital delays, which I don't think is really a fair
no.
thing.
Well,
you might
no,
as well. Do you like crap delays or do you like good delays?
Well,
and if you like good delays, then you will like vintage analog delays.
But I don't.
If you have absolutely no soul, character, or taste, then you'll think that digital delays sound good.
But some digital delays sound like vintage delays.
And that's they're the only ones that sound good. The digital delays that try and emulate being
haven't
analog.
You got a DD3?
No. Oh. I don't have anything like that. All of my delays...
anything like that?
All of my delays are analog.
Do you have anything with tap tempo?
The alter ego times four, but that also has it's a vintage, it's a tape simulator.
Yeah, but
that,
it's a digital delay.
Yeah, I
mug.
Know, but still.
So it's exactly what you're just arguing against.
So
yeah, it's not good. I don't think it's good.
Pros and cons of analog delay then.
Well, the con obviously, well, the pro, I guess, of digital delays from that is something
that's not
that
what
analogs
I asked.
Will never have. Yeah. Well, why do you stop talking?
What are the pros of analog delay?
They sound loads better.
Okay,
they do. They sound better.
The tails have character because
better
lose...
is subjective.
Yes, yes,
no,
of course.
Not.
Okay.
Not when it comes to analog delays.
because the tails, because your delays lose something, they lose some of that high end because they modulate.
Or they can modulate.
They can modulate slightly. It just gives like a warmth and kind of a slightly less precision and more of that sort of sloppy, vibey rock and roll feel. Digital delays perfectly emulate a section of the last few notes that you played and perfectly repeat it for a finite amount of times that you have set, and it's just a little bit, it doesn't have any character, it doesn't have any feel.
So
it depends what you want to use delay for.
Totally. So I would say that pros of using analog delay are that, yes, you get that kind of rich, warm sound. You can do, generally, like, tricks with the feedback and things like that.
Oh, of course, dive bombs.
Exactly. And you just generally get, like you say, a more vibey kind of sound. What you lose out on that you get with digital delay is clarity, precision, the ability for tap tempo, also the ability for... trails.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true actually, because you can get analog delays with trails. You also get, I mean, I would say that tap tempo is probably the biggest
it's
thing.
It's definitely the biggest thing. And I just want to put everybody out of their misery, because there's definitely a ton of people sitting in their car screaming, cast.
Stop
engineering.
Cast
engineering. Casper. Alex in the group is I can tell, pulling his hair out.
Yeah, yeah.
Over it.
But that's a great example of of a digital delay that sounds analog.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the other thing that digital delays obviously provide is variety. So something even as basic as the DD3 has got different modes, including, I believe, an analog mode on the DD3.
Yes, yeah, it does.
So,
but most digital delays will have an analog mode. You know, even go up to like the timeline has an analog mode, but then come all the way down to. Like, there's a Moore really cheap one, really cheap. The Re-Echo.
Yep.
Re-Echo is a digital
the
delay.
The
it's
Re-Echo.
You've got one.
Not a Re-Echo. I don't have a Re-Echo.
The Re-Echo. I think it's Re-Echo.
Re-Echo. And Re-Echo. What was the pink one?
Re-Echo. No, I had one of the double the, pedal. I had one of the shim one. Verbs.
Shim oh,
verbs.
Shim verb. Yeah. That was the one you had. The Re-Echo is again Re-Echo. An analog sounding
digital delay.
Digital delay. Yeah. And so you can get it. It doesn't sound as good. This is something that you just. It is very difficult because there's no right or wrong answer. I would say if you need precision. If you're the sort of person that plays in a band that relies heavily on ensuring that the timing is correct because you play in different time signatures and, you know, making sure that you your sound is correct and because of the timing that you're playing in is literally the only thing going for you because you play in a band that doesn't really have any songs and, you know, you've got to appeal to nerds who like the sound of a guitar, then maybe you should look at a digital pedal, Joe. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. It was worth it for the sitting through that, the painfully sitting through that for the payoff.
But let's name like some of the best sort of hands down, whether they're digital or analog delay pedals out there. And I think most people would agree the MXR Carbon Copy, is probably one of the top analog delay.
Yeah.
Then Boss's best sort of offering to the table, probably the DM2W. I would imagine
it's analog. Yeah, yeah.
Which is an analog delay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So fair enough.
But I think what we're seeing now is pedals that. Combine the two in very interesting ways. Obviously, something like the Cast Engineering, but also if you look at something like Chase Bliss, who are doing pure analog delay, but with digital front end, so digital controlling the parameters. That seems to be the best solution because you get all the variety and you know you get tap tempo and things like that, but the actual voicing is analog. So, what about the question? We're going to have to wrap up shortly because we're just over an hour. What about the question about blending with overdrives? Do we think basically getting a delay that's got a decent mix control in there is your best solution for that?
I think, yeah. Using delays and overdrive together are always going to be
it's difficult.
A little bit tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think something with a blend, a delay with a blend so that you can really pull down the tails to sort of a decent sort of volume. But you can get that really cheap. Even something like... And I've been finding that like these aren't selling sort of countrywide in the UK at the moment. The Ibanez, the analog delay minis.
Oh yeah, 89
yeah,
mini.
Yeah, they yeah, don't yeah. seem to be doing very well.
Very weird because that's such a great.
They're
pedal.
So good. They've now been pulled down in price.
Okay.
Because
sub £100.
Yeah, they were £75 anyway before.
Really?
So they're now less than £70.
Wow.
It's got a blend control on it. It's an 89 in a tiny box. And an 89 was probably, you know, up there with the Carbon Copy and the DM2W.
Yeah. And what, like 10 years ahead of its time?
Easily,
10 years ahead
exactly.
of the competition?
Exactly. And bear in mind, the 89 is £200 and well worth it. So being able to get basically that in a smaller package for less than £70 is amazing. And they have a really that pedal has a really useful blend control on it, so you can pull down those tails to a really reasonable volume and sort
you
of
keep
use
saying
it well
tails.
With the drive.
It's trails, isn't it?
Trails.
I'd say trails.
You said trails?
Delay trails, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say.
Anyway, on that controversial bombshell, I think we should start wrapping this up.
Okay.
Thanks for listening this week. If you want to hear another half an hour of Guitar Nerds content, you can head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds.
If I can just interrupt you there for a moment.
Okay.
There have been... there was some chat earlier about how, you know, oh, we said we were going to talk about this, that the orange... you know, what people would do with the Tiny Terror. And I mentioned, you know, oh, we actually talked about that in Patreon last week. And people were like, oh, no. But a bunch of people stepped in and were like, oh, definitely worth it. Definitely,
oh, yeah, it was a good chat last week. Really good.
Yes, it was a good chat last week. And
right,
and
you weren't here. Is that how short your memory is? You can't remember last week. Yeah. So if you want to hear that, yeah, last week we did a cool thing about how Orange can... what they're going to do to replace the Tiny Terror, or our speculation, basically, because none of us know anything, or you sort of know something, but you promised...
I nearly let an embargo out of the bag.
Yeah, none of the stuff that we talked about touched on that, because you were fairly quiet, which was good. So we talked about if it was up to us, what we would do to replace a Tiny Terror. So patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month, you'll get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds audio content every week. And from $10 a month, you become one of our executive producers and exclusive Patreon backers, and you get your name read out like this.
And today I'm going to read your voice, your names out in a rather charming voice. Ready?
Shall I do some music?
Go for it. Dun. Tony Blair, Andrea McCune, Mac Crosby.
Read their names out properly. They're paid for this.
Read
their actual names.
Okay, alright. Blair Toms, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, Mark Rice, J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Eric Seary, Paul Gorrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Brad Pitt, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Moon Gravett, Colin Anderson.
I love when Brad Pitt signed up for the... what's his actual name? Is it Brad something else?
No, I just put it in.
Oh, you just put Brad Pitt in? Okay, cool. I didn't realise that he signed up.
That might be my new thing. I'm going to try and get a celebrity name in each week.
Okay.
And you've got to try and call it.
Okay. So if you spot Joe's celebrity name every week, the best place to tell us that you've spotted it is facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can get involved in the chat and suggest questions and stuff. By the way, on Patreon this week, we're going to do loads of questions from the Facebook group. Like, we've not got round to doing any for ages, so we're going to cover some of that in Patreon, some of it next week on the regular show. Do go to amply.fi/guitar nerds and sign up there, and make sure you follow us. They're currently running a leaderboard for who can get the most followers, and I think it can be us.
Someone's just brought that up in the chat, whether the number of likes that we've got equates to anything to do with the followers. I don't think it does. We've got 128 likes.
Okay, we need likes and followers.
And give followers. So if you're watching, please hit that like button. Maybe you can do it multiple times. I don't know. And if you just want to shimmy over just a hair, you can hit that tip. You can hit that tip button as well.
If you want to, if you've enjoyed the stream and want to donate some money, you can leave some
little
tip.
The more money we get, the fewer episodes Joe is allowed to be in.
Exactly.
Currently, we're on $14, which means Joe misses a fifth.
Yeah. And if you pay us enough, Joe will be eradicated completely. How about that?
Yeah, replaced with this cat on my lap.
Indeed. Do go to amply.fi. Make sure you follow us and, you know, multiple tap on that like button, and hopefully we'll get to the top of their leaderboards. And people who don't know who we are will go onto the site and check us out, which can only be good. Are people spamming the likes
129,
now?
129, 130.
Yes, keep spamming it. Keep going. We'll get to the top. You can also follow us on Twitter, @GuitarNerds. You can follow us on Instagram, where Matt Knight is absolutely killing it with content at the moment. He's putting up loads of cool pictures of pedals and stuff, @GuitarNerds on Instagram. You can check out our YouTube videos, youtube.com/GuitarNerdsVideos, where we're about to hit 30,000 subscribers. 30,000.
Holy moly.
Unbelievable.
30,000
people. 30,000.
Watch the rubbish
people
that we put 30, out every week.
30,000 people.
Indeed, indeed.
136. Got loads of people smacking that like
button.
Doing
the likes. Do
Look
the
at
likes.
That. Unbelievable.
So thanks for that. And you can also check us out individually on Twitter. I'm Mark_random @Mark_.
That's your new one. It's changed recently, right?
@Mark_random. Matt Knight, who's not on the stream tonight, is @Matt_Knight. CJ is @JAYBN1, and Joe Branton is @Joseph_900. Thanks very much. We're going to go and record.
Just had like 20 likes in like 5 seconds.
Keep hitting them likes.
54. Holy moly.
If someone just needs to leave one of those Homer Simpson pecking birds on the the like button, that'd be amazing. And hopefully by the time we're here next week, we will we'll have a load more likes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Farewell.